Thank the Lord for his faithfulness unto us. Thank the Lord for the inspiration we've already received in this service. The encouragement through song that we can receive, be inspired. As the brother talked about, singing things that we experience and have experienced down in our hearts. It can change how you sing it. You got something that's behind it. Thank the Lord. Well, I certainly desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Thought for this morning is somewhat of a serious thought, but it's in the Bible, and it's there for us. And you know, I believe there's times that God's Word is intended to help us to make sure that we're where we need to be.
Amen.
So the thought this morning is committed. And I'm going to put a question mark at the end, because that's something each of us individually have to respond to. And really, you know, it's something where it can either be a question mark or it can be underlined when you think about it. Committed means having made a pledge or a promise. A commitment to someone or something, to obligate or pledge yourself to something. And when we think about how committed we are to God, we think about a pledge and a promise, really, that each of us made when we gave our heart to God. And I'm thinking about this, why we in today's time, and there are several reasons why being committed is so important. When you think about, and some of this was made reference a little bit this morning in Sunday school, when you think about the sentiment and the attitude maybe that's in the world today, there's kind of two extremes when it comes to God. There are some people that have an extreme of unbelief. When they look at the world around and they see all the things that are going on, they say, well, how could God love mankind? How is it possible that there's a God that's ruling the universe that has a love and a care and a kindness for all of his creation when you look around and you see all the evil? Right? So that's one of the extremes of unbelief. And then people will take that to the other side, and there's a deception, see, that in this great God that loves us, he loves us so much that really, you know, everything is just covered by love. And it really doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want to do. You can live however you want to live. And God loves you. And everybody's going to make it to heaven. And everything is all right. Not so.
Amen.
You know, we have an adversary as we go through this life.
Yes.
And our adversary is trying to use some of these mindsets, some of these attitudes that are in the world today. And so, in his word, he instructs us to be vigilant, doesn't he? And you'll understand when I get to the text scripture, this thought about committed and being aware of the attitudes and the mindsets that are in the world today. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. And the 18th verse. As I mentioned, it's a solemn thought this morning, but it's in the Bible, and it's meant to help us out as we journey along our pathway of life. 1 Peter 4 and 18.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved,
where shall the ungodly
and the sinner appear? So we understand how important it is to be committed.
Yeah.
If I'm endeavoring by the grace and by the help of God to live my life in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him, endeavoring to live a righteous life, this scripture says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, that word scarcely is barely. If the righteous barely make it in, what's going to happen to the other folks? You know, this scripture gives really two categories. And then again, this is something that in our world today that people are trying to get away from. It says the righteous on one side, and then it says the ungodly and the sinner. Does it make reference to anybody in between?
No.
There's no middle ground. You know, and the thing about it said is the righteous scarcely be saved. What's going to happen to the ungodly and the sinner? There's some pending judgment and doom that's coming to them. That's something beyond just what is experienced in the world that we live in. You know, we can understand, and all of us, we can recognize that our life is just better when we have a relationship with God. It's just better. Just the things, you're going to go through things in life, you're going to suffer through things in life, but when we have God with us, it's just better. So you can imagine now someone that goes through this life without God, they have no commitment to God whatsoever, and the way that they deal with life, and then on top of that, what's going to happen at the end? It's a sad situation. So what must I do? What must I do to maintain a righteous and a holy life?
That's right.
The brother preached a message this summer about well-pleasing. What do I need to do to maintain a life that is well-pleasing to God on a daily basis? You know, that's what it takes. It's going to take an effort every day to maintain a commitment to God. The writer says to if the righteous scarcely be saved. So to secure the salvation for our souls, when we think about just what it takes just to live a life before God, does that mean that it's just all easy? That we never have any trials and tests? That we never have to go through anything? No, we sing a song that talks about being an overcomer, don't we? Right? An overcomer has to overcome something. Right? We can't be an overcomer if we don't ever face anything. So we're going to have some sufferings. We're going to have some temptations. There may be some afflictions. But by the grace and help of God, we can overcome those things. When our commitment to God is where it needs to be, God will be with us every step of the way. The gate is straight and the way is narrow, right? But God made a way. He made a way for each and every one of us to be able to make it. That we don't have to, we can, even if we, if the righteous scare, we just got to get in by the help and grace of God. That beats the alternative, right? See, that says that there's a way. I can do it. I can look and know that there's those that have gone on before me.
Yes.
They've made it too.
Yes.
And I just, as long as I stay out of that other group,
right.
I'll be all right.
Amen.
I'll be okay.
Amen.
Because it's even when we think about the difficulties of our life, they're just for a period of time, right?
Yes.
They don't last forever. There's a beginning and an end to them. And then on top of that, I have something else to look forward to.
Yeah. Amen.
If I'm faithful unto death, then I get a crown of life. So my reward for my commitment to God in this life is like we've made reference to. You've heard it said, it's a double blessing. Because we get it here, and then we have something special to look forward to. So how can I remain one of the righteous so that I can make it in by the help and by the grace of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, Lord, I got to hold on to that because I have to make it. So this is what God doesn't like. There's a familiar text of scripture in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 and 16.
I know thy works. That thou art neither
cold
nor hot.
Nor hot.
I would that thou wert
cold or hot.
So then, because thou art
lukewarm
and neither cold nor hot,
I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the way that scripture says, it's the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Right? So this verse lets us know that God wants all or nothing.
Yes, right.
There's no middle ground here. He said, I would that you be cold or hot.
Yes.
You know, the thing about it is, if you know you're not living right, what do you expect? You can't have an expectation that you're going to have a reward for not living right. Right? So that's a given. But if you try to hold some middle ground, see, I'm not being righteous, but I'm not so evil, see, I'm somewhere in the middle. This lets us know God don't like that. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. No, one writer made reference to this. When you think about going to a feast, right, and it's time to get something to drink, do they come and offer you a lukewarm water? Or here's a can of soda that's been sitting out. What are you using? On some ice, right? Or if you want something hot, they'll give you something hot. Here's some lukewarm hot chocolate. Right? Are you not going to have people lining up to get it, are you? Yeah. You know, you want something that's either got some ice in it, or if you want something hot, right? That's what God wants. Am I committed to Him? I gotta have some. There's something behind it. There's something there. I think about an analogy like this in us thinking about our commitment to God. Maybe you've had a privilege to be in a swimming pool sometime. Generally speaking, the water is a little chilly. You know, there's several ways that you can get in a swimming pool, right? You can take the slow route. And maybe start with a toe. Woo, it's cold. Woo, it's cold. And maybe you put the toe, maybe you put your foot in. Ha, woo. Little shock, right? Little shock. The temper's a little different than the air around you. And maybe you, oh, I'm all right. It's kind of cold now. I'll go to my knees. I'll just take it to my knees and I'll get back out. Sometimes people want to try to treat God like that. I'll just put my toe in. I'll just get up to my knees with Him. I know of God. I know about Him. And they say, I have a relationship. Me and God have an understanding. Maybe you get into the waist. Ooh, still cold. You know, that's one way. But you know, generally, the best way to do it, you just jump in with both feet. You know, yeah, is there going to be a shock? Is there going to be a change? Yes. But then your body adapts to it and you own it. Right? That's what God wants. He wants some committed saints that jump in with both feet. Yeah. Is it different? Yes, it is. Yeah, your life is different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yeah, it's going to be a shock to you. Because you got a new master. Somebody else is leading your life. God don't want people playing around. Coming in, oh, I'll get up to my way. Oh, I'm not ready yet. And it's like an hour later, you still ain't got in the pool. Everybody else swimming around, having fun, so to speak. Get serious with God. Yes. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? He doesn't want any half efforts. What if he did that for us? When it came time for him to die on the cross, where he gave a half, no, I'm not ready. No, carry the cross. Put me, no, don't put me up there. What if Jesus did us like that? Like we do him sometime. Am I committed to it? When Jesus was in the garden, was he committed to the will of God? He wasn't wavering back and forth. Did he have to pray a little while? Yes, he did. Am I going to have to pray a little while? Yes, amen. I'm going to have to. Are there going to be, the scripture makes reference to some hard sayings sometimes. Some things that may not be easy. He was committed. He was committed to me. We sing a song, it says, since Jesus gave his life for me, shall I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. He gave our lives to us. It's up to us to give it back to him.
Amen.
And he doesn't want us to hold anything back in reserve. You know, a committed life, a sanctified life is something that's continual. It's a continual consecration. That's what being committed is. You think about just even commitment in relationships. Right? That's something that is continual. The consecration in a relationship is continual. It's not something where I get it all at once and I got everything.
Amen.
A committed life is a sanctified life.
Yes.
God calls and we give. We got a new master, right? He rules and he reigns in our life. So when we think about our commitment to God, where does he rank? Is he still number one? Right? That shouldn't change, right? If I'm committed to him, he should remain number one. And if he's not number one, what I need to recognize is something that has replaced him as number one. Who's the one that even allows me to do the other things that's replacing him? Right? If something becomes more important than God now, and I become more committed to something else than my relationship with God, we have to recognize, wait a minute. If God was not a God of love and mercy, if God did like we did, right? Can you imagine, you know, if you, on your job, If your commitment to your job changed, right, where you stop putting in the effort, you start showing up late, you quit doing your work, what do you think is going to happen to you? They're going to keep you around for a while. We just like you so much. It's all right. You know what? You can skip. You can just not show up. It's okay. We'll still pay you. Everything will be fine. You can keep all your benefits. Does that happen? You be gone tomorrow.
Amen.
Brother, you know what? You've been taking some days off. Why don't you just permanently take some days off? See you later. What if God did like that with us? He's number one. He slide down to number two, three, and four. Something else is my commitment is. What if he did like that? He could just cut all that other stuff off. And then what? But God in his love and in his mercy, he wants souls that are willing. He wants me to willingly make him number one. Not forcibly. I wouldn't even have anything else if it wasn't for him anyways.
That's true, right? That's true.
Thank you, Lord. Help me to keep that in perspective.
Yes.
The most important thing is my relationship with you.
Yes.
I don't want to make some decision today that's going to affect me tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. If the righteous scarcely be saved. Sometimes people can say certain things. Oh, yes, he's number one. Yes, he is. You know, if you took a poll and said, is God number one in your life? Oh, yes, he's number one. He's number one. Yes, he is. But sometimes we can say things with this, but then there's nothing behind it.
Amen.
We're not. It's been around for a while, y'all. There's two scriptures. There's one in the Old Testament and there's one in the New Testament. Isaiah 29 and 13, and then Matthew 15 and 8.
Wherefore the Lord said.
Wherefore the Lord said.
For
as much as these people draw near with their mouth
and with their lips do honor me,
and with their lips do honor me,
but have removed their heart far from me,
and the fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They draw near with their mouth, and with their lips they honor me, but the heart is in a completely different place. You know, in the Bible, when something is put multiple times, that means it's important, right? So this was something that was going on in the Old Testament, and it is repeated again in the New Testament, right? It was... Some different people. Maybe it was the same people. No, it wasn't the same people. It was people. People gonna be people, right?
That's right.
Some different folks now, however many thousands of years later. What's it say in Matthew 15 and 8?
This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth.
This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth.
And honoreth me with their
lips. But their heart is far from me. Lord, in my commitment to you, I don't want it just to be lip service.
No.
I want it to be down in my heart. See, if it gets down in my heart, my commitment to God is action. It's not just something I talk about. It becomes part of my life. You might say, well, I'm committed to God in my own way. See, you don't understand. Me and God, we have an understanding. See, you think you're the first person that tried that? There's a story in the Old Testament. Instruction was given. The person followed instruction, but they did it their own way. It's a very familiar story. It's in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, reading verse 10 through 30. And it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth, this is 1 Samuel 15. That was verse 10. We'll read down through verse 23. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. See here, God is letting Samuel know there's some things going on here that you're not aware of. And it grieved his heart. He was sad about what, Lord, what's going on here? What? Then something happened. Then Samuel rose early in the morning. He rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and it has gone about and passed on and gone to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I've performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done what was asked of me. I'm committed. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this beating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. You know, y'all know the background. This is what the Amalekites, right? They were given instructions and what they were supposed to do, but he didn't follow them. I'm committed, but I'm doing it the way I want to. What's going on then? Why do I hear the beating, the bleating of the sheep? And the lowing of the oxen. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. And the rest we utterly destroyed. What was the commandment? Say, destroy everything. But I thought it would be a good idea. What was the commandment? I'm committed. Are you committed to your way or his way? And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. And fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I obeyed. I did what he said. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But see, it was the people. They did it. Who was in charge of the people? Right. Who was leading the band? They took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? But to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So whose terms are we talking about? We talk about being committed to God. Am I committed on my own terms? Am I committed on his terms?
Amen.
There's a difference. If I'm not committed to what he says, then I'm not committed. I'm committed except for, and maybe you got a list. You got a list of things before the Lord that you say, Lord, I'm all in except for these things over here. Are we committed? I look back over my life from 15, 20 years ago. Am I doing some things maybe that I thought I would never do? Yes. But I'm committed. And God has been with me every step of the way. My encouragement to you this morning, if you got a list, commit it to God.
Amen.
Take that list that you got and give it to God.
Yes.
Lay it on an altar somewhere and pray over it. God will bless you.
Yes.
Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Right.
Think about some that's had some commitment. We're not going to read the examples this morning for the sake of time. But you remember Joshua? Remember Joshua? He was committed. He said, y'all can do whatever y'all want to. It don't matter to me, but I'm going to tell you what. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
We talk about Job sometimes. Was Job committed? You know what he said? If he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
He said, no matter whatever you want to do to me, Lord, I'm fully committed to you. Even those around him, remember his wife? Told him, you need to curse God and die. What good is that going to do? He said, I'm committed. Whatever it takes. You know, there was something about those brothers. There's a verse in Mark, the 12th chapter, and the 30th verse. This is what they had on hand.
Mark 12 and 30.
Yes.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
And with all thy soul.
With all thy soul.
With all thy
mind,
with all thy strength.
With all thy strength.
This is the first commandment.
This is the first commandment. Yeah. See, them brothers had it down in here, right? I'm going to love you, Lord, with everything I got. I'm fully committed to you. I'm jumping in with both feet.
Yes.
And whatever you say, Lord, I say amen.
Amen.
He said, if you're not cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out my mouth.
Yes.
But what if he doesn't matter? Doesn't matter? I don't know. I don't know what's coming. But I'm committed by the help and by the grace of God.
Yes.
The one thing I know, that whatever's coming, God's going to be with me every step of the way.
Amen.
If I hold on to him, he's going to hold on to me.
True.
If I'm committed to him, he'll be committed to me too.
Amen.
If I do my part, he'll do his. I can be sure of that. And he blessed me all up until now.
Yes.
Life without thee would be dreary. Yes. Cheerless though our path would be. Life has been so good with God.
Yes.
Since I said, Lord, I surrender all. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Where are you going to take me, Lord? I don't know. But I'm with you.
Amen.
I'm committed.
Yeah.
I love you, Lord, with my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Where'd I get those from? Him.
Amen.
It goes back to that willingness, right?
Yes.
He gave it to us.
Yes.
And he's wanting us to give it back to him. There are so many examples that we have in the Bible, and we think about those many faithful saints now and those that have gone before us that were fully committed to God. And it takes all of that. There's one other verse in 2 Corinthians, 7th chapter. 11th verse.
For behold, this self same thing.
For behold, this self same thing.
That ye sorrowed after a godly sort.
What carefulness it wrought in you.
Yea.
What clearing of yourselves.
Yea.
What indignation.
Yea.
What fear.
Yea.
What vehement desire.
Yea.
What zeal.
Yea.
What revenge.
In
all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. What carefulness it wrought in us. I'm committed to God. What vehement desire. I'm not playing. This is real.
Amen.
Song says there's a spirit flowing in my heart. Oh, my brother, can you say you feel the burning love of God? Is it in my heart? When I think about everything that he's done for me, what can I have anything but a vehement desire? When I think about what he's brought me from, what he shields and protects me from, how he's with me every step of the way. A commitment to God is a consistent life that we constantly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
We just say, yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do. What if I mess up, though? How many times we, Brother Henry and I, have been up here stuttering over words, can't pronounce words in the Bible. we should thoughts escapes our minds. Amen.
Yeah.
May not say everything right, and if we allowed it to, the enemy could just beat us up all day long. That message you preached, I don't know what you was talking about. You should have seen everybody's faces. Amen. If I have to look like a fool, I'm committed to God. How committed are we? Songwriter said, I love to serve my Jesus.
Yeah.
If this is what I got to do, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
And if I mess up every now and then, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
The words don't come out right, thank the Lord. You know, it's still a privilege. I love to serve my Jesus. A privilege so sublime. What's that? Number 52, that first verse. See, I've sung this song I don't know how many years, and I can't even remember the words now. My life afresh with beauty's bright. Is sparkling all the time. Mid scenes that are unfading. Y'all was coming back to me. Of rapture and of bliss. Transported I am soaring. In my Savior's righteousness. Is it still a privilege to me?
Amen.
Or is it a trial? Where's my commitment? I love to serve my Jesus. The world I do give up. I'll drink with my dear Savior from that bitter, bitter cup. I know that if I suffer with two, with him I too shall reign. In life and up in glory bright, sweet promise sure I'll claim. Am I willing to accept God's will and plan for my life? How committed am I?
Amen.
His way is best anyways. Right? I mean, come on now. I know more than him. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps.
Amen.
The steps of a good man is order of the Lord. He knows way better than I do anyways. How far are we willing to go? How willing are we to do? Is there a limit? Does it depend on what God is requiring of me? Lord, by your grace and by your strength, I want to maintain my commitment daily.
Amen.
And you know what? Maybe there comes times in our lives where we recognize I don't have the joy I used to have. The love to serve him, not what it used to. It's something changed. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to reaffirm that commitment.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm committed to you, Lord. No matter what,
amen.
I'm committed to you.
Amen.
I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. And I desire your prayers that I would remain committed to Almighty God.
Amen.